We'd like to welcome you all in Jesus' precious name. I would first of all like to say thank you for your prayers. God has been very good to us in many ways. I'm very thankful. Beginning of this past week, I wasn't sure what I was going to share today. And I didn't know, actually I didn't know till yesterday morning. And I was gathering my eggs like usual, and I was praying. I said, Lord, what do you want me to share? And I had some flashbacks through the week, and I realized that, wow, I think I need to share this. And I'll give you a couple stories here. That way it'll hopefully get your thoughts thinking. But before we go there, what was last Sunday's message?
Love of God.
Love of God. I think the title is the Everlasting Love, something like that's what God. And who shared it?
Arthur Ocker.
All right. Yeah, well, I've been noticing it seems like I'm always following him for some reason, which is good. I have no problem following after. That was a very good message, and I thought of it that we could have kept on going because Art did not exhaust God's love. It's beyond our comprehension, and I think we have a lot to learn on that. Anyway, this past week, I had the privilege of taking three sewing machines to camp. We had some old sewing machines around, and we had to get rid of them. So I went to CAM, and it was Thursday. And I come pulling in that in the CAM, and I mean, the parking lot was full. I mean, there's vehicles everywhere. And I thought, what in the world is this all about? And I talked to the car parker. I said, I came here to drop some sewing machines off. He said, oh, yeah, go ahead. So I went and did that. And it tweaked my interest, so I asked him on the way out, I said, what's this all about? He said, oh, it's open house Friday and Saturday, and this is senior day. And I said, oh, I said, what's a senior? I said, where do you call a senior? And he said, I asked the same question. I said, is that 60, 65, or is it 55? You know. And anyway, he said, well, he said, hey, he said, they're giving out fish in there. They're giving out fish. I said, really? Yeah, he says, if I take you in, you'll eat one if I get it for you? I said, sure. I said, sure. And so I went and parked, and we went into the, what you call displays of different countries and all that stuff. And he comes, they were having the projection going on. Anyway, he took me right up to the Haiti one, and there was a dish there with dried fish. And he said, there's the fish. I looked at it. I went and took one, and I bit it. I mean, I ate half of one. And he stood back. He looked at me and says, you're not normal. And I ate it, and anyway, I finished eating the fish. And then I did a Tom Sawyer on him. I said to him, I said, you never ate one? He said, no, I didn't touch any of it. No, I didn't. I said, you don't know what you're missing. So he went and he took a piece off and he ate some. And then I told him this. I said, we are so spoiled. We do not realize how blessed we are. I said, these people are eating this dried fish and they think it's their potato chips, whereas we think it's yuck. But I said, if this food chain stops, the fuel runs out, I said, you might be glad for this kind of fish. And he looked at me and says, you're right. Anyway, I told this story to my daughter when I got home, and she said, Dad, when he told you you're not normal, you should have said, no, I'm thankful. And I thought, you know what? He's right. Anyway, the next day, Friday, came along, and I made a phone call to a business outfit that I deal with, and I said, hello, and right away he said, thank God it's Friday. I said, well, you beat me to it. And they said, well, John, he said, I said that because I'm in the office, and everybody knows now who I'm talking to. And I thought, good, I don't mind. I'd rather have that reputation than some others. And the question I think about is, my message title is, are we thankful? Are we thankful? And my cry is that I would like if you would all turn to Psalms. There's two chapters we're going to read here. Yeah, you want to get me some water? Yeah. It's Psalms 95 and 96. I would like to help us understand the foundation for worship and thanksgiving are in these two chapters. So I think for something different, I want you all to stand as we read this. Those that can stand. All right? Psalms 95, verse 1. It says, O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving, and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God, and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is also his also. The sea is his, and he made it. And his hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart, as in the provocation, as in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my work. 40 years long was I grieved with this generation and said, it is a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways, unto whom I swear in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest. O sing unto the Lord a new song, and sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless his name, show forth his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the heathen, and his wonders among all people. For the Lord is great, and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are his sanctuary. Give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. And bring an offering and come unto his courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. Say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth, that the world also shall be established, that it shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously. Let the heavens rejoice, let the earth be glad, let the sea roar, and the fullness thereof. Let the field be joyful, and all that is therein. Then shall all the trees of the wood rejoice before the Lord, for he cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness, and the people with his truth. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we bow before you again with humble hearts to thank you for everything you have done for us. We thank you, Father, for thy word. We thank you for the truths that you have given to us. We just pray that as we look into thy word this morning, that you might move with your spirit into each one's heart where we are needy. And we just ask, Father, that you might help us to be receptive. Help us to see our need, so that when this service is over, that we would have a desire to serve you and love you and reflect your kingdom in such a way that those we come in contact with will see you. We pray, Father, for those that are not here today. We think of those that have strayed from truth. We think of Jim Weaver. We think of Gordon Hassel. We just pray, Father, that you might touch their lives in some way, and that they would realize that we do love them, and that somehow they would come back to a saving knowledge of you. We pray again that you might help each one of us to be open to truth. We pray that you might help us to realize that you are in control. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. With what I just read, I like to ask these questions. And these are out of the scripture that we just read. It says, am I singing unto the Lord? Am I coming to God in worship and thanksgiving? Am I kneeling before him? Am I hardening not my heart? Am I declaring his glory to the heathen? Am I giving glory to the Lord and helping others? Am I saying, the Lord reigneth? Am I rejoicing? Am I joyful like nature? Nature is rejoicing in God's creation. They're just giving out or bubbling out his praise. This morning, I think it was a little bit like Art said, I didn't hear the birds chirping. This morning I heard a noise that I don't know what it was, but it wasn't a bird. And it was outside the office there, but I knew there was some creature. And it was doing what God wanted to do. So I would like to read something here that gives us points for thankfulness, being thankful. It says, the first thanksgiving is acknowledgement of the fact that all we have is given by God out of his goodness. When Moses stood with the children of Israel at the border of the promised land, he exhorted them, beware that thou forget the Lord thy God, lest when thou hast eaten and are full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God. And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth. That was in Deuteronomy. This message of the word of God needs special emphasis in a time of prosperity and blessing, and we are there. Secondly, an acceptable thanksgiving is a recognition of our own unworthiness. It is not our worthiness, but God's love, which we talked about last Sunday, which is the ground for all he has done for us. He that spareth not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Which is Romans 8:32. And after David was brought into the throne of Israel, he confessed his own unworthiness. Then went King David in and sat before the Lord and said, who am I, O Lord God? Third, we must express our thanks to God in words. It is not just so-called outward expression, but we have to verbalize it. It is true, there must be a spontaneous and inward feeling of gratitude to God for what he has done for us, but the Bible very clearly shows that this feeling must be expressed in words. It says in Psalms 105, it says, O give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people, sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, talk ye of all his wondrous works. With that thought, how often have you shared with someone something that you were thankful for, something that God did for you? You know, I have the cliche, I thank God for every day. But my question to you is, when you meet someone, you know, do you express some expression of thanksgiving that God has done for you? Or, in other words, it's a verbalization that we need to do if we want God to be glorified. All right. And it is by talking about God's gifts and works that we acknowledge that he is the giver of these things. And let us on every occasion speak of God's goodness and his power to save. Fourthly, the fourth way of showing our gratitude is by giving. One of the principles of offering in the Old Testament was the thank offering. When David wanted to thank God for ending the pestilence, he refused Araunah's offering the threshing floor and said, "Nay, but I will surely buy it from thee for a price. Neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which doth not cost me nothing." He wanted to give. He had to make sure that he had a cost in it. So let's make sure our thank offerings are a sacrifice of thanksgiving. If we bring our small change to the house of God for a thank offering and keep the major portion of our money to spend on ourselves for our own pleasure, it can hardly be called a sacrifice of thanksgiving. I thought about that. I should have had this message before the offering, and Les might have been right, but Lord willing, we'll still get there. And the fifth way we can show our gratitude to God is by dedicating our lives unto his service. This is the final and the fullest expression of gratitude. It says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." Here we see that the only adequate and final expression of gratitude which a person who has been redeemed can make to God. As we review all that God has done for us, and as we are reminded of his immeasurable love for us, let us dedicate ourselves anew to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and to the cause of his kingdom. Let us speak of the works of God and sing of the grace of God and give our money for the spread of the gospel. And above all, let us yield ourselves in heart and life to the will of God in Jesus. The question I've written down here is, am I really reflecting Christ? Am I really reflecting God? When God created man, what was his purpose? The purpose of creating man was that man would glorify him. That was the purpose of creation of man. And the devil took that. Man sinned, man fell, and that glory is... And so, in a sense, God is going the second mile to make it so that we can come back to him, because we're done. We had no hope. But by Jesus coming back and giving us the plan of salvation, that we can come to him and be restored in this relationship, it's unfathomable. It's something that we need to kind of grasp. And I don't care if you were raised man or if you were raised in a ditch. I mean, we both need the same Jesus. We both need the same amount of salvation. And the thing that I think has tricked some people up is because, you know, they've been blessed to be raised in a Christian home. They've been blessed to be raised in a brotherhood that loves and fears God. And there's a certain amount of smugness, like, you know, I didn't do what these people did. Well, the fact is you did, because sin is sin. Wrong is wrong, but right is right. And let's choose Jesus Christ. So, and that's where I see we need to make sure that we are living out thankfulness. I have... Like, again, I like my acronyms, and I hope you can bear with me. We are thankful people. We want to be thankful people. And what I was trying to think is, I asked the question, are we truly thankful? Are we selfish? So I was trying to think this morning the characteristics of a thankful person, and I was debating whether I should do this, and that is, what would you think the letter T could be for thankful? A person who is thankful, we talked about in Psalms, it goes back to relationship, etc. I'm giving you some hints. Can you think? What would be a characteristic of a person who's thankful?
Teachable.
They're teachable, that's correct. I agree with that one. Let me give you this hint. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. Anyone? Right. They need to trust. They trust God. That is one of the characteristics of a person who is thankful. They believe in God. They trust him. They know that, you know, whatever God says, he will perform. And I'm going to tell you this right now. There's a lot of, I'm enough of a business person that I have people that I do business with who have said, oh yeah, we're going to have it done by this time, or we're going to be at your place on this day. And they don't show. They don't come. I can't say that about God. When God says something, it's going to happen. All right. This one should be simple. H. Anyone? You're good, but that's not what I wanted. What? They're happy. That's true. You are okay. What was that? Yes. I have yet to see a proud person who is thankful. A person who is proud thinks they got it by the tail. They have the world by the tail, and they're like, you know what? You can't touch me. But a thankful person is like, thank you, Lord. I appreciate what you've done for me. And that is one of the reasons why I think God told us. It's a command. It's not a suggestion to be thankful. He said, be ye thankful. And the purpose of that is we then acknowledge that we have a greater than us that's giving us what we need. We need that. All right. This one, I'm going to move it along. I really moved it along. And if I'm wrong on my spelling, correct me. Is that right? What does that mean? Real. Real. Means honest. And you know, the three words we say a lot is be honest, humble, and holy. And you have to have that if you're going to be a thankful person, because you're not going anywhere without it. So we need to be real. We need to be honest. Now, this one was a little bit harder for me. And that was a thankful person. They notice others. They see the need of other people. They see there's something here that they should help with. They notice things. They're not oblivious in their own little world. But you know, whether they're going down the road, or when, you know, if you see somebody cowering in a corner, like, no, what's going on? You all right? That kind of thing. That's a thankful person. This one should be simple. And that is, they're kind. They're courteous. They're friendly. They're not rude. A thankful person just looks out for other people. And F, you're finding fulfillment. When a person is thankful, they're content. They're not there trying to stir the bushes. They're not trying to, you know, create a fuss. They're happy. They're content. They're just finding fulfillment in life. This one is very obvious, and that is they're unselfish. And the last one, they love everyone. And that means enemies and friends. They love everyone. I came across some interesting thoughts in regards to, I've said this multiple times here, and it's an attitude of gratitude will give you altitude in life. But the interesting thing about gratitude without an expression is a little bit like wrapping a gift and not giving it. You know, if I would have a gift for someone and I would wrap it, make it look nice, but I wouldn't give it. That is like gratitude without having an expression or showing that you really mean what you say. I would like to a little bit recap a little bit what we were sharing here. We need to recognize, in being thankful, we need to recognize that divine ownership. In Psalms 24:1. Maybe I'll give these verses out. Okay? Psalms 24:1. Less. James 1:17. James 1:17. Ephesians 5:20. And there's some other verse I'm going to read, but Psalms 24:1, what does it say?
The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein.
Amen. In other words, God is the divine ownership of everything, and that includes us. And we have to recognize that if we want to be thankful people. Number two, we are recipients of God's mercy and goodness. James 1:17.
Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and comes down from the Father of light, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning.
Okay, we are recipients of God, of everything that God has given. And it's every good and perfect gift is from above. It's from God. Okay, a life living in the Spirit and filled with the Spirit will manifest itself in thanksgiving. Ephesians 5:20.
Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. We need to realize that, you know, a Spirit-filled life will be manifested in a person who is thankful. Thankfulness is an exercise of joy, joyful and a praying heart. And the fifth thing I've written down here is unthankfulness is one of the first signs of departing from God. And I'd like to read a portion of scripture here in Romans. If you can turn to this, it's going to be a little bit of a reading, but it basically helps us understand where unthankfulness falls in place. Romans chapter 1, I'm going to begin reading at verse 16. It says, Romans 1:16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation unto everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changing the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto the corruptible man, and to the birds, and to the four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them to an uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burning in their lusts one toward another, men with men, workers working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their errors which was met. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murderers, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affections, implacable, unmerciful, who, knowing the judgment of God, that they would commit such things are worthy of death. Not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest dost the same thing. But we are sure that the judgments of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. There's a lot. There's a message in this portion in itself. But I am wanting you to understand, when you do not acknowledge God as everything, all this stuff falls into play. An unthankful person becomes selfish. An unthankful person turns her back on God. An unthankful person will be malicious. They will do, they will become homosexuals. They will become wicked in the sight of God. But God is going to judge them according to their truth. Yesterday, we were at a wedding. It was an older wedding. It was my brother was beside me, and he said, "Everybody here looks old." And I agree, we were. But it struck me when they read Mark, and God made them male and female. That is truth. That is facts. And that will not be changed. Satan would like to distort this whole thing, but truth is. And when we stick to truth, we're good. But when we divert from truth, we're in trouble. And I think the key factor is having this concept of God in our lives. In other words, where is he in your life? Is he everything to you? Is he to the point where you have to acknowledge, do you trust him? Are you humble? Are you authentic? Do you notice others? Are you kind? Are you finding fulfillment? Are you unselfish? Are you loving everyone? If you have this thankfulness, you're going to come out better than those that are not. I have seen people who are very ungrateful. And on the way here, my wife and I were talking. And the fact is, thankfulness is not affected by what you have. I'd like to read this. I have this little tract that I had in my file from when I was a teenager. And I guess I didn't realize how much of an impact it was on me. But it says, the title is One Thumb. So I want to share with you the life story of a friend of mine living in Illinois. Think of this case. A woman, 64 years of age, a shut-in for over 16 years, not moved from her bed, in constant pain, and unable to move a limb. But listen, she is so thankful that God has left her that great blessing, the use of her thumb. Her left hand is clenched and stiff and utterly useless, but she has a two-pronged fork fastened to a stick with which she can put on her glass and remove them again with amazing skill. But the same means she can feed herself and can sip her drink through a tube, helping herself with this one thumb. And there is another thing she also can accomplish with her fork. She can turn over the leaf of a large Bible when it's placed within her reach. A visitor heard her say, "I have so much to praise and bless the Lord for." When asked the source of her happiness, she answered, "The fact that my sins are forgiven and dwelling on the great love of Jesus, my Lord and Savior, I am content to lie here and to go wherever he shall call me." Have you seen a shut-in for 16 years? Have you been a shut-in for 16 years? Are you occasionally free from pain? Have you the use of more than your body than one thumb? Can you feed yourself? Can you read the Holy Scriptures? Are your sins forgiven? Do you reveal in the Savior's love? Do you praise the Savior's love? Are you destined for heaven, home, and glory? Haven't you much? So how thankful are you? Haven't you much for which to praise and bless the Lord? Are you praising him? If not, why not? Think of the one thumb. We are blessed. We are so blessed. It goes back to the fellow at the CAM. We're spoiled. My prayer is that we will be a thankful people. And the only way you're going to be a thankful people is you need a relationship with Jesus Christ. You need to understand how great God is and how small we are. Lord bless you.